Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back to Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Yes, we got the lighting on in here. We are back, Old School. Jay Foreman, Kenny Wilhite at the Scarlet Hotel. They finally got us to where we can be seen on here. Kenny, I think they were trying to say is that we got faces for radio. I think that we two handsome older brothers, though. You know what I mean? Black don't crack. We all right. You know, we get a little gray, but we still can pass a little bit. We had the first day of school haircut and shave us off, we could pass for maybe 30s or something.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, probably got to keep your hair on.
Yeah, my hat. I got just for men. I got to go bald. I wanted to do, but I got egghead.
If you kept your head on, we could pass.
Oh, yeah.
We shave our face.
And then hit the just for men, we'd be good. Yeah, so before break, we were talking about the I don't even know what I call
Coach Riley.
Coach Riley. All right, Mike Riley's Coach. Always been cool. We were talking about Bob Diaco and his tenure here, and I think Bob Diaco's tenure is a little bit doesn't get enough, I guess, credit for the downfall of Mike Riley. Considering that normally when a defensive coordinator, I mean, Banker was there previously, when you make a big jump, a significant jump, and in big games, mm-hmm. now, in big games they played pretty decent, that you end up, you know, forcing the head coach to fire him. The one thing I wanted to ask you about Bob Diaco, and then I'll tell my story, and then I wanted to ask you some other stuff, because I wanted to ask you about the culture in which I think your perspective is good because it's coming from a different place than me, because – guys like you had influence. But what I wanted to ask you about Bob Diaco is I'm a big proponent of even if you're a good enough coach, even if you run a 3-4, 4-3, 3-3-5, but you know you don't have the personnel, mm-hmm. that you would try to adapt. Talk about Bob Diaco's inability to try to adapt, considering that we didn't have one guy that could play the 3-4. Not one. Talk about how hard that was, not only to watch, but on the players, because that's not fair to them.
No.
It's not because they can't do it.
No.
So talk – because Freedom could never be a stand-up linebacker.
No.
So he went from a 260 defensive end, tried to make a 245. Then they'd be like, all right, now we're going to put you – almost try to get you play a five technique. Mm-hmm. Just talk about some of the anxiety and some of the – I wouldn't say anger, but some of the – disappointment for the players that had to go through that.
Well, I think that was Riley's third year.
Right.
Right, going into his third year.
Yeah.
First year was tough.
It was real tough.
On Coach Riley,
yeah.
himself,
yeah.
with the players. Second year, I think he had the players where he wanted them,
yeah.
believing in him.
Yep.
But then when he was – like, so you say, I don't know if he was forced to make that right. change. But that change really was the downfall of Coach Riley.
Yeah, it put the – I always say that put the stopwatch. It went from regular motion to – warp speed.
Yes.
So when your tenure would be over.
When, you know, you get a guy that who's as arrogant,
yeah.
as cocky, his way is the only way. So there was no adapting
right.
to the players that he had on the roster. That was it.
Right.
I mean, you had players. You know, one thing I've always tried to do was be there for the players.
Right.
Ultimately, it's about the kids.
Yeah.
The kids in the locker room.
Yeah.
Because I wore that uniform. Even if I didn't play at the University of Nebraska,
right.
it's always been about the kids for
sure.
me. I've always tried to be that big brother,
yeah,
that
mentor, right?
You know, you may not like what he say, but
they yes, come sir. From a good place.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Right.
And then just play for the brother to your right, brother to your left.
Yeah.
The guys that wore the uniform before you, the guys going to wear it after you.
Right.
You know, that's what I try to tell them all the time. But the guy who beats them down,
right,
just constantly beat them down and never try to lift them up,
right,
that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard on the player. You right. know and I know yeah. that. Coach McBride would let you have it, but he would also put his arms around
you. Oh, he'd be the first one there for you.
First one yeah. there. So – but for a guy to constantly beat you down, tell you yeah. you're worthless, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, and never put his arms around you, you know, that's not a guy you want to play for.
Right.
So
I always say with Bob Diaco, it was you know, anybody could have been a defensive coordinator when you had Wynn, Stephen Tuitt is a defensive end who mm-hmm. was, you know, he's one of the greats that ever played for Steelers. You had Manti Te'o when he was playing, and you had Harrison Smith playing safety. And that's right up the middle. Mm-hmm. And then you had Big Nix in there, too. That was really, really good. So, and then they had corners and everywhere. So the defense was what, I guess, brought him to notoriety was really, really stacked. Now, he coached him. Credit. My Bob Diaco story was I was down at the – I remember seeing you, too.
Yeah.
Because I was down at the stadium, and I was just going – I was actually going down there to try to get a T-shirt from Jay Terry. So I said, man, you know, they're running a 3-4. I'd played – out of my 9 years, I'd probably played 7 or 6 of them in the 3-4. So I said, let me just, you know, peek my head upstairs. And, you know, I knew Mike Riley just passing and stuff. So Bob Diaco calls me into his office, and he's got this big old whiteboard. And I started, you know, I introduced my, you know, did all the pleasantries. And I said, hey, man, you know, it's pretty cool you playing 3-4. I played in 3-4, you know, 7 years in the NFL or whatever. He's like, oh, let me tell you about my 3-4. And he was talking to me as if his 3-4 was something totally different than I ever seen. So I'm like, I sat back and, okay, cool. So I'm waiting for him to start putting up, you know how you, when you draw the center, you put the X through yes. and the Y and all that. So I'm trying to think, oh, maybe he's going to put up like 4 different, you know, squares and stuff. Man, this man drew, took this marker and drew a sword. And he's like, my philosophy is we're going to be like a sword and we're going to stab him right there. I just literally, Kenny, I grabbed my T-shirt, the little bag I had, got up and left. I said, I'm out of here. You said, I seen you and you said, where are you going? I said, I'm going home.
Yeah, you wouldn't talk to
yeah.
him.
Yeah, I said, I'm
he
done.
Said, I'm going hey, home.
That dude been on the job 2 days and I already cashed him in.
I mean, we talked about it. I mean, you know, when Riley took over,
right.
you had Tommy Armstrong as quarterback.
Right.
Riley's philosophy was West Coast offense. You know, you don't have a West Coast quarterback, so you have to adapt to what you have.
Right.
Did he? No.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So a lot of coaches think their way is the way.
Right.
Their scheme, their philosophy is the it-all, end-all, right. be-all. So I think they did a lot of those players a disservice.
Right.
Again, ultimately, this game is about the players.
Right. And that's the only way you're going to win.
That's the only way you're going to win.
I mean, that's the one thing that a lot of coaches, that the really good coaches, the one of the best quotes I ever heard was obviously from Nick Saban. He said, I don't think plays, I always think players.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, those guys are the ones that are going to win and lose me again. He's like, my job is done come Friday.
Yes.
You know, and then obviously, you know, there's some things that obviously goes on Saturdays and whatever the games are. But, you know, I think one of the things I wanted to ask you about, which I think is missing down there, and I can't speak for Coach Rule, is I can talk from my perspective. When I came in, being an outsider, not from Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
coming here and you coming back, the Toby Wrights coming back, the Dante Jones and the Troy Dumases, all those guys coming back, and the inspiration that you guys gave us because you guys were playing at the next level, but it was also – the brotherhood that you got, yes. gave us. Because so even when we came back and we would say, you know, struggling a little bit or whether we were playing or not, you guys were there to show us the way. I think that's what's really missing because you see it at all these other schools.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you look at University of Miami, yes. you look at Alabama, you look at Tennessee, one of my best friends coaches at Georgia, what they do with their alumni, use them as assets versus adversaries.
Yes.
And you can lose – they can do a lot of your hard work if you just tell them what you need to do, we need to be need done, because once that happens, it actually accentuates the coaching job.
Yes.
But I think some of the coaches these days want to have so much control over the players, which it's a weird mindset. We want to control, have control or like our thumb on the players, but don't want relationships with them. See, isn't that a weird type of mindset, or is that just me?
No. You hit the nail on the head. I pride myself on trying to have a relationship with my players.
Right.
Not only my players at my position, but
all
other players.
Right, yeah.
The whole team. Right. When I coached, and we talk about coaching to a player's playing capability, we always, Coach Sammy and I always said, you know, let's do stuff for, let's make sure these kids, put them in a situation where they're going to have success.
Right.
If you don't, you continue to put them in bad situations, they're not
going to shut down.
They shut down.
Right.
So as a coach, you have to try to, in your mind, put kids in. You may be a good press corner.
Right.
But you're bad at off.
Right.
Coverage. So we're going to call things to predicate what you can do.
Sure.
Right. So going back to what you said, I think as far as the alumni base,
right,
like when you came around, when JP came around, Toby came around.
Right.
Former players came around. I made it a point to introduce them to the current players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they need to know a Jay Foreman. They need to know a Jason Peter. Not just because, you know, they let you get up in front of the team and talk.
Right.
But even before you did that, when former players came around, I made it a point not only to the players that's on the roster, but the coaching staff.
Sure.
You may not have known anybody on the
Riley,
staff.
Right, yeah.
Riley staff, Coach Frost staff, you know, but I made sure I walked you to every coach's office and introduced you to them.
Right.
Because there's that brotherhood that
is there. It's got to be there.
It's got to be there. And you say the Miamis and the Tennessees and the Alabamas, I think Nebraska's behind a little bit on that.
Right.
I think they're working towards getting something in place for it.
Yeah.
Because you put your sweat and blood and tears into that place. I did the same thing.
Right.
Like you said, when I came back for you guys, I mean, the Glovers, the Neil Smiths.
Right. Was it for you?
They came back for me.
Yeah.
You know, so they taught me, and I wanted to teach you.
Yep.
And while I was there, I wanted to teach the guys on the roster now.
Exactly.
I used to quiz them. Who's this guy? They had no clue.
Right.
I'm like, well, he played your position.
You should know that.
You should know that.
Right.
You know, in order to get to where you want to go, you got to know your history.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's always interesting. And you know, with the last 10 years, stuff like that, I think, you know, from my perspective, I just think the biggest thing any coach can do, whether it's Matt Rhule or any coach, you got to make sure your actions are exactly what your words are saying. Because, you know, as much as everybody says these kids are different, they are.
They are.
Right? But the one thing that they are before anything is they're athletes. So they're able to adapt to the environment that you put them in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they will go further along that, you know, journey.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If they can trust you. And what they do a lot of, and I said it, you know, really to be honest with you, you know, like when Coach McBride, he say, Kenny, I need you to run through that wall. Kenny,
run through that wall.
Now, they might ask you why, but they got to make sure what the reason why you tell them why is factual.
Yes.
It's not only that player, it's all the other players in the position group or in the team that's watching.
Yes.
So that's how you can lose a team real quick, and they won't ever trust you based on what they can tell you. Now, also what you have to make sure is that a lot of these players, they, you know, defensive guys usually live with defensive guys, at least when I was in college. Mm-hmm. Now you might have a quarterback live with a defensive guy. So now you got to make sure you're open and honest as much as you can as a coach with everybody, because if they see Kenny Wilhite not getting done right, now it's on the other side of the ball. Now they're watching you. Now you always are kind of, you know, fighting an uphill battle. And I think that's one of the things that if I ever could, you know, give Scott advice would be that, right? It was two things I always said. When you come in, be hard on them but fair. So make this spring ball the hardest and most physical it can be, because then there you'll weed out the guys that don't really want to play football, mm-hmm. right? And then number two is make sure that your actions are exactly what your words say they were going
to
be.
They have to be.
They have to be, especially at the beginning.
Yes, these kids aren't crazy.
Right.
They can they'll figure out really quick.
Right.
If you're not truthful with them, if you don't have their best interests.
Right. They'll know right
away. They'll
know right away. Right. And you know what's weird is that one thing I picked up on going to tell them the truth, they'd want that.
They want that. They want to be told the truth.
Yeah. They actually will shut down on you if you try to tell them something that's
not the truth.
Like soft.
Yes. If you're hard from day one,
right,
and they can accept that.
Right.
But if you're trying to be their friends day one and then you try to go hardest,
yeah.
It's a wrap.
Yeah,
you're gonna lose them.
Yeah, they're gonna look at you no different than the guy they see down at the club.
Yeah, like what?
Yeah,
who are you?
Who are you getting mad at?
Who are you
before,
getting mad?
Right? Yeah,
to be honest, it's happened.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to go there, but yeah,
it's happened.
Yeah, and that's where when I was down, I was looking to see stuff, and you not ask you, you'd be like, bro, no, leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Right? Leave it alone.
I stayed in my lane.
Right, because you have to, because there was a couple guys that was like, I just don't want guys. Like, hey, I ain't your coach, bro.
I'm not your coach.
I ain't your coach. Okay, no. I'm here for you. But think you can't get folded up in that little trash can real quick.
Yeah. Get hemmed up.
Yeah. Oh, you know, another thing I want to ask since we got you here, man, is like, you know, I tried to explain to a lot of people the difference between, just as football now, the difference between being a boundary corner and a field corner. Just from a little of what I know about Coach White and his 3-3-5, there is a difference,
mm-hmm.
or he plays that.
Mm-hmm.
So talk for you, obviously being a corner, talk about the difference.
I think a field corner, you can hide them more.
Right.
Because the ball's on the opposite hash.
Right.
There ain't no quarterback in America can throw that ball.
Right.
From one hash all the way outside the
net. Yeah, consistently.
Consistently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, you have some.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know, but in college, it ain't going to happen.
No.
So you can hide that guy. Whereas in the boundary, you got to be a man.
Yeah.
Because you may end up on the tight end side, and what are they going to do?
Run.
They're going to run right at you.
Yep.
So, I mean.
And what people don't understand about boundary quarter, because they figure, oh, the sideline's your friend. Well, actually, if somebody hit the sideline, he gone.
He gone.
So, and that's also in a short pass. If they run through a hitch, if they throw, you know, a deep comeback and you miss the tackle,
ain't nobody
strike up
there.
The band.
There's nobody.
So,
over.
Actually, people think, and here's what I wanted to get into. People think your best cover corner is your field corner, when actually it's your boundary corner. That's your best player.
That's
one of your top 3-4 players, because he has to do everything, but he has to do it at a lot faster rate because it's coming at you so quick.
He's got to be able to cover, and he's also got to be able to tackle.
Right.
So he's
And reroute.
He's got to be a man.
Right.
So, I mean, we were fortunate enough to have Cam Taylor Britt
right.
A year ago. You see what he's doing in the
NFL. Yeah, he's
He was that guy.
Yeah.
He was that guy. You hope Quentin Newsom
takes that next step.
He has.
Right.
He's gotten, you know, he's matured.
His game is matured.
Yeah. So I think there's still some maturity
for
him to do, but I think if he takes that next step,
right.
they have it in him. Where you can hire a Malcolm Hartsaw to the field.
Right, because you know? It's also easier for him.
Less
thinking, easier route combinations.
Easier route.
You know, one thing I think people don't understand about playing that boundary corner, when you have big tight ends now, these tight ends ain't, you know, well, Rashawn played tight end, you know, he's 6'1", 6 foot. They 6'7".
Six, seven.
So what people don't understand playing corner, and I want you to speak on this, because I understand when I was playing linebacker and I'd be to the boundary, is those big tight ends, and they can obstruct your vision So then, therefore, it can delay your route recognition. So even though there might only be an offset running back and a tight end, well, they can run that dragger coming over there, and your eyes get lost, and you run it with that tight end up the seam. Well, here comes the dragger.
You're supposed to be there.
Right, and he catch it on the sideline. I always say he cocked the head back. Strike up the band.
So
talk about that.
You talk about tight ends. This day and age, tight ends are flexed out into the boundary.
Right. Which even worse because they just engulfing you.
Yes.
Right.
They're 6'6", 6'7".
And can run. Right.
You know what I mean? We've been fortunate enough the last 3 years to have Austin Allen and
Vokolek. Right.
You know, those are.
And Jack Stoll before
Jack
that.
Jack Stoll before that. Those were dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you flex them out on the corner.
They're going to, yeah. It's like Gronkowski a couple years ago against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs corner.
Just went right down the field.
And then we talk about that. Michael Parsons came here in the summertime, and he ran past all those five-star cornerbacks.
Right.
They put him out at receiver, and they couldn't guard him.
Right.
So the boundary corner, he's got to be a man.
Yeah.
There's a scout came through this year. I dealt with the pro scouts, and he told me his name. I said, oh, snap. He was the tight end for the University of Washington. When we were playing him in Lincoln in 91, two-point conversion, they flexed him out on me. Mm-hmm. And I said, you thought you was going to get me, huh? He said, that's you?
Right.
And I go, yeah, that's me.
He said, you messed up his draft set.
No, he played in the NFL for a while, but, he was a big dude.
Right.
You know, but I accepted the challenge.
But you're training.
Training.
In practice. Was second nature.
Second nature. So I told him, I said, man, that was some fun times. He's like, that is you. But if Quentin Newsome can take that next step, right, he'll be an NFL type guy.
Who are the two or three guys you think coming back from defense, if they can take that next step, even though it's a new defense, new philosophy, if they can take that next step on and off the field, because I think it's a direct, tie to it, that can help this defense get back to where it's respectable or continue along on what you guys did last year towards the end of the season?
Well, the four secondary guys.
Right. They can gel.
If they can gel together, Newsome, right, Buford, Farmer,
and
Hartsall. Those are the main ones.
Right.
Like we say, if Quentin can take that next step. But right. Let me rephrase that. It's got to be on and off the field.
Right.
You got to be able to balance school, football.
Social life.
And then you got to study football.
And expectations.
You have to study football.
Right. Right now. Yeah.
Like,
right now, you need to be studying the defense and then also your opponent.
Your opponent.
Who you're playing next year.
You got to learn a new defense.
Right.
So the playbooks is on the iPad. And you can track
yeah.
who watches.
Oh, I know.
Film.
I know there's a guy that came here and came in the transfer portal that ain't open that thing.
Didn't open it. So, again, we talked about it earlier. You have to love the game.
Yeah.
You have to sacrifice something. The preparation. If you know what you're doing.
Right.
Learning your opponent is easy.
Yeah.
If you know what you're doing.
I want to ask you, do you think one of the biggest difference from kids these days and say when Bo was his group of guys, cause I think most of those guys were football guys. I think it started to dissipate towards the end of his tenure.
Yes.
Is that they don't love the game of football. They love everything that comes with it, but they don't love the work, the study, the nuances of it. Because the one thing I asked, I remember asking, I think I was asking Adrian about the teams in the NFL. He ain't know none of them. So that let me know you ain't watching no Sunday football. Right?
Man, I always say that. That's what I look for.
Right.
You don't know if they love the game until you get them on your campus.
And that you can't put no star ranking
you
on that.
No, you can't. So you watch all of him you want. But there's a lot of guys that love what comes with it.
First. Yeah.
How many Twitter followers?
Right.
I mean, you would not believe how many guys would DM me and say, hey, how do I get a check mark on my Twitter?
Oh, I'm sure that's the first thing.
What? If that's what you worried about, you ain't the guy for me.
Right.
If all you cared about is how can you get a check mark on your Twitter?
I remember when Riley was having the first Friday Night Lights. They were talking about when Micah Parsons came and how many in Bookie, how many they gained 20,000 followers by just coming here.
Just coming here. Yeah. It was crazy.
Right.
Micah Parsons, Bookie, Darnay Holmes.
Right.
All those guys. They all Keyshawn, Tristan Jebbia, they were all highly rated guys.
No, two came here.
No, they no. You had Dismuke, Jebbia, and Keyshawn,
and Dismuke's the only one that made it.
Oh, and Tyjon Lindsey, and Dismuke was the only one that made it.
Made it past 1 year.
Made it past 1 year.
Hmm. That's a dang shame. Well, that's some inside scoop right there. If you call, if you will, from Kenny Wilhite, a little bit from me, but the insight of modern day athletes or high school athletes. So as we start to cheer on this recruiting prowess of this new regime, you're saying we need to pump the brakes and all just make sure. Because here's what I think before we go to break, people don't understand. You talk about the best case scenario with all these guys, but majority of them ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
And so that's what if you're batting 50%, that's good, right?
If you bat 50%, that's good.
You're really good.
You're really good.
Yeah.
50% is really good.
Right. Then we'd be going to Florida somewhere to watch a game.
Yeah. We'll find out this spring.
Right. Time does not waste no time.
Time waits for no one.
No, man. And it's coming, too.
It's coming.
Yeah. So we're going to go to break. We're going to have one more short segment before I think DP's going to come in here and sit in and pump some knowledge into us. But we'll be right back after this short break.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School. With DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
From Friday night football to the county fair, from picnics in the park to hometown parades, from big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.